Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Tuesday, April 25th. Happy draft week, everyone. We have finally made it. Congratulations. I always say at this point, the pre-draft process is like 1 week too long. So we're wading through a lot of BS here to get to Thursday's big event. That's awesome. This is our last podcast leading up to round one. So we're going to be doing a little bit of a mock draft sort of here on this show, because of course, where everyone else zigs, we must zag. This is not really a true mock draft. It's sort of what I'm calling a quote fantasy football player's dream mock draft. Where basically we're just going to wish cast some of the top skill position guys into their best fits so they can be absolute studs on Sundays. So again, not just a straight first round mock draft, round by round, pick by pick, anything like that. We're going to go through each position, quarterback, running back, wide receivers, tight ends that we've talked about on this podcast and find them a perfect home. And I could think of no more perfect guest to do that with than my buddy, Tommy Moe of the Undroppables. First time on the show, I believe, Tommy. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Matt? Thank you for having me on. Yeah, first time on the show, second time talking to you face to face. So that's nice to finally get onto the pod with you. Love everything that you're doing with Yahoo Fantasy Football. Love the pod. You and Four Verts are killing it. And super stoked to be here to talk where we want these guys to go. You know, I like that we're zigging because, yeah, it's at this point, we've seen how many mock drafts, right? Everyone has every single take of what they want. But, you know, this is a fantasy football show. So let's just stick to fantasy and where we want these guys to go. And so I love that I'm here talking to you today about this.
Yeah, this is a podcast that literally has just over 48 hours of utility, because this will be completely blown up by the time Thursday starts.
Right,
but
right.
In the moment, it's going to be great to feel really good about where we send these guys. And then we'll inevitably have to change our opinions once we actually see the landing spots. But for now, we get to live in our little fantasy world, which, as you said, is what we do best. Before we get into that, we do have to talk about some breaking news that happened yesterday. And Tommy, I have to tell this story before we get into the Aaron Rodgers news. I am so pissed off because we have known this trade was coming forever. And of course it happens when I'm in like an hour and a half appointment yesterday. I can hear my phone, you know, because my phone's across the room. I can hear my phone across the room as I'm talking to like the specialist or whatever, the person I'm seeing. And I'm like, it's going off like crazy. And I know I don't get this many text messages. No one likes me. I'm like, That's the Rodgers trade. I know this is the Rodgers trade. And I'm not going to get out of here again for like another hour and a half. It's a long appointment. It's the Rodgers trade. I know it. And of course, as soon as I get the phone is blowing up with the breaking news that Aaron Rodgers has finally been traded to the New York Jets. I mean, just classic. I know nobody cares about my problems, Tommy, but classic that's what happened.
No, we all care about your problems because we've all been there, right? Like, breaking trade comes through and you're stuck on an airplane or you're in an elevator or like, you know, I'm a dad. Like, I'm in a parent meeting or something. I'm like, babe, I got to check this right now. Like something's going on, you know, so we've been there. Right. To see the news finally hit, Adam Schefter breaking it live, you know, and everyone going nuts on ESPN. Yeah. It's finally here, you know, and we've known it's going to happen. And at this point, it almost got comical how long it took to not happen. Like, is it not going to happen? Like what's happened where it's falling through that they're just, why can't they get the deal done? But now it's happened and pretty decent haul, like, you know, for that trade. What do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it is funny because we've known it was going to happen forever. But yeah, like actually seeing it finally get done is great. I should have just been like, excuse me, doc. I gotta get, do you have anywhere I can film a quick breaking news hit here? I had to do it in my damn truck after
10 seconds. I just need 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Got to look at the phone. Couldn't do that. But the deal does get done here. As you mentioned, it's a pretty good haul for the Packers. They get the number 13 overall pick. It's a pick swap between the 15th and 13th pick, but they get the 13th pick, the 42nd overall pick this year, a sixth rounder. That's cute. And a conditional second rounder in 2024 that becomes a first if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps this year, which, Tommy, that's like basically, it's not even like 12, 13 games. Like, he just has to play 11 games to hit that. And you'd have to imagine he would. And by the way, if he doesn't, right, then that second round pick is going to be like top of the second round, because the Jets will be banged right in that scenario. So pretty good haul for the Packers, but it's kind of sad for the Green Bay part of it, which we'll talk about, like what they look like going forward. It is just such an end of an era for an iconic player. And it does seem to be ending on obviously a pretty frosty note here, but for Aaron Rodgers to follow, and this is, I know this is going to get a lot of comparisons to the Brett Favre thing, but Favre got traded for like a fourth rounder, basically. Like, he kind of got traded for almost nothing. And for the Packers to get this haul for a guy that they were done with, but the Jets absolutely needed, I think it's actually kind of a win-win for both teams here.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, yeah, Brett Favre, but for peanuts. So to get the swap, to get potentially another first round pick, I mean, that's awesome. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like his average games played every single year is a minimum of 13 to 14. So yeah, it's most likely going to happen unless something drastic happens, you know, knock on wood, you know, it is like, it's just mirroring the exact same thing as Brett. But I think, you know, he goes to a really interesting situation, at least with the offense, with the receiving core there. And I just, you know, thinking about this pod today and this situation, you know, I just feel bad. Really, I think the only kind of loser in this situation is Elijah Moore, because, you know, yeah, we've loved Elijah Moore for years. And, you know, now he's finally getting a fantastic quarterback that he doesn't get to play with. So sucks, buddy. But, you know, everyone else, I think it's great. And my only concern really is just the offensive line, you know. And so when we talk about him not making, you know, those 13 games, the only way I could see it happen, yeah, is him getting hurt because the offensive line isn't blocking and something happens. But, you know, they were bottom of the league last year with PFS ratings, and the Packers were top 10. I hope he does well. I think it's a, you know, fantastic move for him, and I'm really excited for fantasy and for Garrett Wilson's future.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the offensive line. I think that's key why this is the pick swap is important here, and they didn't actually just give up a first round pick this year, because there are still needs on this roster, and the offensive line, like, the 15th overall pick, they should probably still be in the range to get a tackle, although it's a little worrisome that their division rival New England also could probably use a tackle, and they're the 14th pick, then now they've gone down to 15 here. But still, I think they could probably get somebody in that round one range. We'll see. Like, Mekhi Becton's always such an enigma at this point, but man, it sounds like he's taking this offseason really seriously. He's in great shape. Would love to see that reclamation project happen. But yeah, that's probably the one concern. Glad you brought up Garrett Wilson and the receiver core, because my one reaction yesterday to this, and, you know, it's like we've broken down what Aaron Rodgers is going to look like on the Jets most likely, because we knew this trade was going to happen. Like, it's like it's been almost just over 40 days since he went on Pat McAfee and said, which feels like in some ways it feels like it was yesterday. In some ways it feels like it was 3 years ago. But right, I think it's just been just over 40 days.
Well, it's like Lent. That's so funny. I'm sorry, I'm Catholic. So like, it's like Lent, you know, the 40 days, and now he's finally free.
Yeah. And when you do, I've done Lent before too, and it's like sometimes when you give something up, it's like, has Lent been 40 days or has it been 4 years? If you right, do that type of thing. I think the interesting thing about the receiver core is you mentioned like the Elijah Moore trade. They sign Alan Lazard. They don't go necessarily like super hard to get Odell Beckham. They let the Ravens kind of make that move. When I look at the receiver core right now, as much as Rodgers is going to get a lot of excitement here, I think Garrett Wilson is awesome. I think Garrett Wilson could be like 130 target type player. I think he has a future superstar type of ceiling. But the rest of the receiver core is like kind of just guys to me. We'll see if Corey Davis does stick on the roster. I think his team's still going to be based around Breece Hall as like the figurehead of the offense. And Rodgers will be super efficient. We know that. But I don't think this is necessarily going to be like Peyton Manning goes from Indianapolis to Broncos and starts like throwing the ball all over the yard.
Yeah, it's still going to revolve around Breece. But I still think, you know, it's Aaron's going to do what Aaron wants to do, you know, and if Aaron wants to throw the ball, he's going to throw the ball. And we've all seen before with LaFleur where if he doesn't like the play call, he's just going to change it and do whatever he wants. So, I think Brees is still having a great future. But I saw a funny tweet the other day with, like, you know, everyone's so happy about Garrett Wilson. But, you know, Alan Lazard is just going to get 120 targets now from Aaron Rodgers and just make us all hate our fantasy lives because we were so wrong about that.
Garrett Wilson, where do you think he comes down, like, in early fantasy rankings? Where do you think?
Easily a fringe wide receiver one. You know, it's tough to really, you know, new situations always change things, but Garrett's fantastic, you know, and I think it doesn't change a whole lot. Yeah, at the droppables right now, we got him as a dynasty wide receiver seven consensus, and I agree with that. I think unless it just really doesn't gel for any weird reason, or, you know, Aaron gets hurt, I think that later round wide receiver one, or later end wide receiver one, is definitely within the realm of finishing for Garrett this year.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about it. And the Lazard stuff, the Nathaniel Hackett stuff, like, it's kind of funny to laugh at, but at the same time, I think the familiarity will go a long way in making this work for Aaron Rodgers in year one. Like, it won't be as harsh of a transition as it was for Brett Favre, even though Favre had some decent moments with the Jets in his year. Last thing before we get to our prospect wish casting here, Packers. Jordan Love takes over. Like, it's tough to know with Jordan Love. They seem super excited and ready to make the move to Jordan Love, which that's great. I'm happy for you that you feel that optimistic. But at the 13th overall pick, I will actually talk about them picking a player later on. But I think they still need pass catcher help.
Yep.
At tight end, at wide receiver, and Jordan Love. Again, how do we feel about this now? Like, the official transition to the Jordan Love era. Obviously, the Packers have been very lucky in their transitioning from one Hall of Famer to another. I don't know if we're about to get a third here, but they certainly seem pretty optimistic about it.
Oh yeah, they're hoping the blueprint works again. You know, right? Like, we get the guy that we want. We let him sit and wait. He's not, you know, everyone isn't super high on him, and then he comes in, balls out. I mean, literally happened with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's literally the blueprint for the Packers. So, you know, and it's been a while since we've seen anything real on tape for Jordan Love. So, I mean, yeah, he's got a couple games in the NFL, but I feel like you're almost going back to, like, the projection of hope of him as a rookie. So looking at now, like, okay, almost can we, like, wipe the slate clean in a way, you know, with all, as far as what he's put on tape, what he's done on the field, and hoping that all those years of just sitting behind one of the best, you know, learning the system, that hopefully it pays off, right? But I, you know, I don't think in this league you can really put all your eggs in one basket at all anymore. You know, like, bell cow running backs almost completely going away. And I feel it's the same with quarterback. Like, it's hard to just completely rely on one guy, because we've seen once that guy goes down, like, everything falls apart. And so, yeah, I think you mentioned they need the pass catchers, definitely. And then I was reading your article that you just put out about this, you know, same wish cast, and laughing about, like, of course we're going to get the Packers a receiver now that Aaron Rodgers leaves. But that's what they need, and that's what they have needed. So hopefully they address the issue. But, you know, there's enough quarterbacks in the mid to later rounds that have enough potential upside, I think, that they could get someone late. And if that person needs to step in for Jordan Love, you know, maybe they could. And maybe at least Jordan Love is serviceable this year. I don't want to call him a stopgap cornerback, and then they're just going to draft someone again next year. But, you know, it's a wide range of outcomes right now for Love. But I going back to that draft class, I like Jordan Love, and I, you know, it was a terrible landing spot, but I was hoping the same thing, you know. So I guess now we're at the point where we have to see if that blueprint works again, right? Like, now is the time to actually see, okay, is this gonna come to fruition?
Yeah, and I'm with you that we'll talk about a receiver landing there later, like I said, but they have to do a lot more to set Jordan Love up for success than they have done for Aaron Rodgers. I get their sense of, like, hey, Aaron, you win MVPs with, like, not great receiver cores, you know? I mean, obviously Devontae Adams is a superstar. Like, you had the best receiver in football for a while, like, piped down over there.
Yeah.
But if you can, like, lift up guys like Lazard and all these other players, like, we're not going to spend a first round pick on a receiver, but they might look at Jordan Love and be like, hey, we need to give this guy as much room for error as possible, which I could see them sort of thinking about it in that way. And we might see them, even if they haven't spent a ton of draft capital on receivers of late, we might see them do that differently this year. So let's wait no further. Let's get into our prospect wish casting here. Like I said, friendly reminder, this is, you know, not obvious first round picks, all this. Like, we're going to go ahead and we're going to have a ton of different dudes. We're not just going to talk about the top guys. We're going to talk about guys all across the draft board. We're going to try to be quick about this so we can get to as many players as possible. But we are going to try to be realistic with where, like, their draft range is. So we're not going to send Bryce Young to, like, the Chiefs or something. You know, we're going to try to be realistic about this. Or, you know, we're not just going to give every stud to the Chiefs or something like that. We're going to try to be realistic here with their draft range, stuff like that. But Tommy's got some landing spots. I've got some landing spots. We'll hash it out and come to a consensus on these guys. But let's start with quarterbacks. We've got five quarterbacks here that could be potential first round picks. We're going to stick on those guys here. And let's get started with Bryce Young. Obviously, it seems like he's the heavy favorite to go number one overall, Tommy. We've talked about that on the show. Do you think his best potential landing spot is Carolina? Or, again, being somewhat realistic here, I think there's a still non-0% chance they take someone else at the top overall pick. Is there a better spot for Bryce Young to go to?
Yeah, and let me just preface everything I'm about to say that I am the hugest Bryce Young homer. Him and I, same high school. I've been watching him since he transferred into modern day, and he was 16. Like, I have been on Bryce Young from the beginning. I have the receipts. You want to pull them on Twitter? I am all about Bryce Young. And so just to, you know, preface, I've said he's my QB1 for years of this draft class, even in super flex or non super flex leagues, regular PPR leagues. And, you know, people call me crazy, but this is my guy. I have been on Bryce Young. And I've been waiting for him to hit the league because he just continuously defies all the naysayers of his size. He can't, you know, he's not a runner. All he's not Konami, all these things. But all I have done is watch this kid up close in person, sling the rock, be a field general, manage the game. He's done it at Modern Day High School, one of the best high schools in the nation. He did it at Alabama, one of the best college football programs in the nation. And he's going to do it at one of these teams and hopefully make them the best football team in the NFL. And so, you know, but to be fair, yes, the height is a concern. The size is a concern, but we are seeing this changing of the guard, especially at the quarterback position with smaller guys. I mean, we're seeing it with a wide receiver class this year. You know, it's like short King Central, this wide receiver class. and so it is changing, right? So to get off my high horse and move on about Bryce Young, I think wherever he goes, if it is Carolina or Houston, I personally like the fits. I guess I like the fit of Carolina better because the offensive line is a little bit better. But mm-hmm. I think the receiving core at Houston has a little bit more potential right now, especially with John Metchie coming back. I think that, and if they draft another guy to complement Nico Collins. And so I think, I think wherever he goes, I think he'll be fine as far as, it's not going to be a detriment to him. You know, I think he's going to do well at either Carolina or Houston. Personally, I think I'd like him. I'd like him to see him go first overall. So I'd like to see him go to Carolina just to prove that point, just to say that he is the QB1. He was literally on QB1 on Netflix, like when he was in high school. So he's been living that life. Like, and that's the other thing too. It's like, when it comes to the intangibles, when it comes to the mental aspect of the game, he's ready and he's been ready because he's been doing it for years already. And so all that aspect of the game and his throwing power and he can run, I think he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback in the NFL. And I'm excited to see him go first overall.
I'm with you. And look, I really love the CJ Stroud to Carolina fit. I was in on that for a long time, but I do think Bryce Young, you know, like we talk about outliers in this draft class. You mentioned all the small receivers. Like, the thing is, Bryce Young is already an outlier because he's already shown that he could beat the odds of an outlier based on his size. Like you said, being an incredible high school player, being an elite college football player at the best program. Also, this past year, it's not like Alabama was Alabama. They didn't have like the same dudes around him that you've seen previously. It's pretty similar to the Devontae Smith analysis, a player that I know you and I both were super high on. Like, yeah, you can talk about the weight, but like he's already shown he can play at that weight at an extraordinarily outlier level, high level at the best in the best program of college football and win the damn Heisman. It's pretty similar with Bryce Young. So I get it. I'm with you. Let's send him to the Panthers first overall. I do think they can use some work in the receiver corps, but the offensive line is so much better. And look, Bobby Slowick might be a dude as an offensive play caller. D'Amico Ryans might be a dude as a head coach, but it's a kind of more of a proven, I think, setup in Carolina there. So we're on the same page there. That brings us to CJ Stroud, a little tougher one to fit at this point. Where do you think is the ideal fit for CJ Stroud?
Yeah, and I was listening to your pod talking about, like, you know, the whole S2 scores thing coming out, and he just dropping his draft stock. I feel so bad for the kid because, you know, before that, it was easy an argument 1A, 1B, you know, I think with Young and Stroud. And so I think if he still, you know, can hang on to his high draft hopes and land in Houston, I think that's a really good fit for him. Just like you're saying, you know, with D'Amico Ryans kind of trying to turn things around. But selfishly, you know, because like this is a wish cast and like it's a fantasy game, right? Like everyone gets like so serious and like it's just fantasy. We can say whatever we want and do whatever we want. It's not real.
Anyway, zero consequences here. Zero consequences.
We're making our own reality. I would love if all of this like S2 score, all the fade happened and he dropped to the Raiders. I would be stoked with that. Not necessarily for him or for the fans on Twitter, but as a huge Raider fan, I think a guy like CJ Stroud or the next guy we might talk about, it would be a fantastic pick to just kind of completely jumpstart that offense and change things around and change the game because, you know, a decade of Derek Carr, as a Raider fan, we just need something different. You know, we just need something dynamic. I don't care, you know, go back to, I don't want to say Jamarcus days, but like the Terrell Pryor days, like let's just get someone to run the ball and throw the ball and let's just air it out and see what happens. But yeah, so selfishly, I hope the S2 score makes him drop down a bit more and Raiders get to snag him.
I think CJ Stroud is so pro ready. So it's a little bit of a shame to see him go to the Raiders, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo there to be like a ready made placeholder. But man, he'd be a fun fit with like Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers. I think their game would overlap really well. And like I said, I think he is ready to run like a big boy drop back pass game. And the Raiders have that well set up. They definitely need offensive line help.
Yes.
But they have the skill position talent for like, okay, if Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt three games into the season, which is certainly possible, they throw CJ Stroud out there. Like for Devontae Adams, you'd still feel really good about him. For, I mean, Hunter Renfrow, we'll see if like, it's so weird. You're a Raiders guy. It's so weird. The Hunter Renfrow thing is so weird with Josh McDaniels coaching staff, but that's going to happen with Josh McDaniels sometime. But right. I think he'd be a guy that could step in, you know, 3 weeks into the season, 4 weeks into the season, if it's not working with Jimmy, or again, if he gets hurt, and like all of these guys we'd still feel really good about from a fantasy perspective.
Right. And because solely this is just fantasy, right? Only because of that.
Wish casting.
You know, the Raiders went from Derek Carr to handsome Derek Carr. You know, so again, like I want something more. I want something more, something to be really excited about. Yeah. So, but again, you know, if I use my brain, not my heart, I think the fit in Houston is still a good fit. I think they could really, really build some stuff. And like you said, step in right away. I was a Davis Mills fan, and I think I predicted him being drafted exactly where he got drafted. So I was like, I like this guy. But in this stage of the game, you know, you got to be more. You got to be more than just a field manager. You got to be more than just a guy that can throw the ball decently, unless you're Kirk Cousins, you know. Like, but yeah. So I think. CJ stepping in and Houston would be a great fit. I think it'd be great for fantasy too.
All right, so we want to go with your head or your heart here. Do you want to send him to the Raiders? You want to send him to the Texans?
Let's send him to the Texans.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I'll allow it. Okay. Anthony Richardson, next guy up here. Man, you mentioned my prospect wish casting article, which I love that you replied to that. Just like, thanks for the notes, like heading into this.
A little
bit of chi-chi. I sent him to the Colts in that prospect wish casting article, dream landing spots type thing. Look, does Anthony Richardson need maybe a little bit? He needs experience. He needs reps. I totally agree with that. I don't think he's necessarily as raw as everybody thinks. Like, I think he just is inexperienced, and there's a difference between those two things. And again, you're picking nits between like words, really. We're all saying the same thing. He needs more reps, and there are some things that are concerning on film for sure. But I think he shows enough traits from an athleticism standpoint and from a processing standpoint that you can get him on the field early if you're Indianapolis. And look, you're not going to be running the most advanced offense in the world, but We've seen it with Jalen Hurts early in his career. I mean, Hurts is such a good comparison because of the Shane Steichen connection there. Like, they can have some sort of like Mickey Mouse run heavy offense early. And I actually think that that gives you a better floor as a rookie than necessarily like a career long ceiling. But obviously, Richardson has the athletic tools to be an incredible ceiling player. So, like, look, if you have Richardson, you have Jonathan Taylor, you have Michael Pittman. I'm still a huge Michael Pittman fan. And Alec Pierce is, you know, I don't know what Alec Pierce's ceiling is, but let me tell you what, in college, you threw it up to him. He ran slants, he ran posts, he ran goes, and that was it. And you know what he did year one in the NFL? He ran slants, he ran posts, he ran goes, and you threw it up to him. So I think like that fits with Richardson being a field stretcher there.
The last few quarterbacks they've had to step in haven't been that exciting. So yeah, you just need a jump start. And Anthony Richardson is definitely that guy. I love that take. The only other one I had thought of, I was watching, I think it was First Take on ESPN the other day. And I love what Maurice Jones-Drew threw out there. And he's like, everyone comps this guy to Cam Newton. So why don't we just send him to Carolina, you know, and like, just blew it up. It's just like, hey, why not? Like, because why? You know, it, again, it's wish casting, right? Like, that would be insane. If they just wanted to Cam Newton 2.0, run the same type of offense they used to have, just grab Anthony Richardson first and just blow up everybody's mock drafts at that point. And then the other one I thought that was really interesting, I saw from Thor Nystrom, who I forgot where he's at now. He used to be at NBC Sports, but
Fantasy Pros.
Fantasy Pros now. That's right. Yeah. So Thor was like, he comps to Randall Cunningham. Like, and so let's throw him to Minnesota and see, you know, what that could do. But like, obviously he's going to have to drop a little bit for that to happen, which could happen, but the opportunity there to like, Anthony Richardson, it just, there's so many things you could do. And there's so many offenses that he could fit into, even if it's not right now, that's the way the offense is built. Like, you're going to form an offense around this guy. You're going to make it work because he's such a raw talent. He's such a great prospect. And Konami, you know, that it's really starting to take over the NFL. And he's one of the best examples of it. And, you know, it's like we all kind of seen it's athletically, it's like Cam 2.0.
I do love the Cam thing. Like I said, I would, if I was the Panthers, I would be trying to talk myself into Anthony Richardson to the last possible moment because the upside is so sky high.
So high.
But I am going to pull rank here, and because we're wish casting, we've talked about some realistic ones. I do think the Vikings are a realistic trade-up team. What about Detroit? Okay. I think Detroit is my favorite landing spot for Anthony Richardson because you can let him sit behind Goff. You have a guy in Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, if you watch Anthony Richardson and, like, you see him try to work the middle of the field, but those Florida receivers, like, it's just not there. St. Brown is a guy that is a proven over the middle field player. Like, if you're worried about Anthony Richardson, quote, getting off his first read, which I think is mostly BS analysis, let me tell you what, his first read is Amon-Ra St. Brown, and that fool's going to be open, like, you know, 90% of the time. I mean, he's a great zone coverage beater. He showed you last year that he could be a zone a man coverage beater as well. He's shown that he's a near, like, I mean, I used to call him Bud Light Cooper Kupp coming into the league, and like now he's just kind of like Cooper Kupp. Like he's in that archetype. So I don't know. I love, what do you think about like just sending him to Detroit? And obviously Jameson Williams just got suspended, but like, which sucks. We probably should talk about that off the top, but like, I don't know what to say about that. Like, that stinks, but I think they're a team that could add a receiver in the drafts here. Well, now they're going to have to add a receiver in the draft, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, I kind of like sending him to Detroit. Maybe they trade up to the third overall pick. Like, it's just such a unique opportunity for Detroit as well to be in the top six picks here.
Right. Yeah. And again, to completely change around your offense and do something. Yeah, that's a great fit. And don't get me started on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, because again, I talk about him, the biggest Bryce Young homer. Amon-Ra, we all the same high school. It's all modern day high school. So I'm just like homer. Like I all love day that long.
Dude, man.
Yeah. He's fantastic. And like, it's a good fit for him to learn behind Goff, you know, and then step in and then, you know, take the reins of this offense. But again, Anthony Richardson, it's just like you could send him anywhere and it's electric. So I think a lot of these teams may be trying to talk themselves out of like, oh man, do we just, you know, not to say he's Michael Jordan, right? But what's that? If you see Michael Jordan on the draft board, like even if you need a tackle, you're going to take Michael Jordan, right? Like even if we're not even playing the right, even if like Michael Jordan's playing, you know, on the football draft, but you need the left tackle, you're still going to draft Michael Jordan. He's the best guy on the, you know, on the board. So I think it's going to be tough for these guys not to talk themselves into taking Anthony Richardson on draft day.
All right. So let's talk about Will Levis. He's a tougher one for me. And look, I kind of buy into that Chris Ballard's a big Will Levis guy. because he's a traits-based scouter, all that type of stuff. I could see the Colts being a really good landing spot for Will Levis. I also think that there's going to be maybe even the Texans, who we've already matched with CJ Stroud, so we're not gonna do that. But like, I could even see the Texans looking at Will Levis and being like, hey, he's running a pro-style Shanahan offense for the most part throughout the last 2 years in college. This is really translatable to what we do. Like, it makes a lot of sense there. So what do you think is a good spot for Will Levis?
I like Indianapolis or Detroit for Will Levis. I think, you know, someplace that has somewhat established quarterback, at least a veteran there, that he doesn't have to step in right away. And give him a year or two I don't necessarily think he needs reps. And it's probably not fair to Will, at least for me, because we have all these Konami dynamic quarterbacks in front of him, around him, that like, it just, when I'm watching him, I'm not as excited as other people are, because like, I don't know, like when it's a fantasy, we're looking for fantasy purposes, the ability for a quarterback to really, you know, get you those running points really makes a difference. I like him. I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I'm just not personally like excited about him. And I personally think a lot of like the Will Levis love, like coming out from the teams lately is just pre-draft smoke. You know, I'd be shocked to see Houston, you know, make that move to take him too. But
so aggressive. Yeah.
I can't be shocked at anything at this point. I'm a Raider fan, so I'm always shocked every single year. I'm always on the draft, you know, like draft day, like party, like it's so exciting. It's always a bust, or it's always something I never, you know, wanted to be. So I, as a Raider fan, don't expect, you know, or don't not expect anything to happen at this point. And, you know, so I think he's worth the top 10 pick.
Well, I think that makes the Indy landing spot really good for him. And we can send him there, because really if we're not super gassed about Will Levis as an individual player, and I've said that he's like Ryan Tannehill to me, like stand back there, grip it and rip it, you know, play action, crossing routes, like hit that dude. And for me, that makes sense for Indy. Like he can be, if we're talking about like Ryan Tannehill, Michael Pittman, not as good as AJ Brown, but like, those play action crossing routes in this style of offense would be a really good fit for him. So we could send him to Indy just to like, hey, let's keep Michael Pittman afloat. Will Levis, you've got a gun, throw it down the field to Alec Pierce. And like, we're trying to be a run heavy team anyways with Jonathan Taylor. He can be sort of, again, the Ryan Tannehill in that style of offense. Okay, let's talk Hendon Hooker, who you actually have ranked higher than Will Levis. And I get that, looking at your rankings on the Undroppables. But talk to me about like the dream landing spot for Hendon Hooker, because you know, we've said on this podcast, he's a tough translation based on playing in that Looney Tunes offense. But I do think he could be a late, you know, mid to late first round pick.
The opportunity for him is the ceiling is potentially super high for the same type of reasons. Anthony Richardson is not the same, but just you're making the similar argument. I'd like to see him go maybe like Tennessee. I'm a guy that likes like the parody and like, oh, you know, well, Tennessee could need a quarterback and he played at Tennessee. Let's, you know, like it's a good fit. I like guys that stay home or like, you know, the storylines that kind of happen from there. So I have him at Tennessee or Minnesota, I think could be a good fit too. I think him just slinging it to Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne and whoever else they hopefully add in the draft would be a pretty good fit. And it's, again, it's along those lines of Anthony Richardson comps to Randall Cunningham. Like Hendon Hooker doesn't remind me of Anthony Richardson. It just, when I look at these other guys, like the size, the skill level, like everything else, it just kind of fits. And so I have those similar kind of feelings about him. I think if he stayed at Tennessee, again, he wouldn't need to start right away. And that would be good, I think, for his game. Or Minnesota, kind of the same thing, and just developed into a really nice running, throwing NFL quarterback.
I think Hooker does, and I feel like we've kind of lost this talking so much about the offense that he played in on this show for sure. I think that Hooker has really great attributes. Like he's got an arm, he's got the running ability too, which I think gets lost in the Tennessee offense, that like a big part of what made that offense so hard to defend is that Hendon Hooker was a rushing threat as well. He definitely needs work, obviously translating to a pro offense, and then obviously the age and the ACL tear are negatives in sort of, as Charles McDonald says, like checking the boxes. But if I'm breaking ties between your two landing spots there, I'm gonna go with Minnesota, just because offensive head coach, I love Mike Vrabel, but like offensive head coach, maybe an ecosystem, like a the Tennessee receiver core or Justin Jefferson. Like, I'll pick the Justin Jefferson thing there. So either way, they've got a veteran that he can get, he can develop behind. I think that if he had to see the field earlier, which is just based on injury between the two spots, I'd feel better about him in Minnesota. So I think we could send him to Minnesota in round one.
Yeah, I like that. And looking at some quick numbers, you know, the only, the other guy that comps closest to Hendon Hooker with like yards per attempts on his career completion percentage is actually Bryce Young. Like, he's throwing the ball pretty well, you know, and throwing it a lot and moving it downfield. So I think it's a little bit of a later breakout, and just, I don't know, like, Tennessee was getting love this year, but at the same time, it's Tennessee. It's not Alabama, you know? So I think he's not as talked about. He's not as well known, but I think there's a little bit of a diamond in the rough there, and he could be a real great sleeper in this class.
Let's move to running backs, and we'll try to go faster on the rest of the positions just because I'm not trying to keep you here for 2 hours, pal. So Bijan Robinson, got to start at the top here. And again, this is wish casting. So we're not, I can't get the picture of Bijan Robinson in a Commanders with a Commanders hat on round one out of my head. Atlanta obviously has been talked about a ton. You know, I think that's a cool fit. Obviously in Atlanta, it'd be great, but like, those two teams have rookies that they drafted last year that are still pretty good players. For me, and I know the Eagles, we could talk about that, but my wish casting landing spot is the Bengals. Like, he falls down the board to round one. The Bengals have said, hey, Joe Mixon, you're either going to take a pay cut or you're not going to be on the team. In this scenario, they take Bijan Robinson round one. They're like, never mind, one of those options is off the board. Joe Mixon, you're out of here. And like, Bijan Robinson, it then can be a true blue chip workhorse back on an offense that's awesome. I think from a fantasy perspective, like, and we don't have to sit here and be like, oh no, are they going to run the ball too much with Bijan Robinson and not throw it with Joe Burrow? We've seen like them have a high end workhorse running back. Now we're just putting like a younger, potentially better version on this team. So I don't know. That's my wish casting spot for Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, and I love both those take, the Philly take. Charles McDonald talk about that. I think, you know, the offensive line, all those reasons that he listed, fantastic. The reasons you're listening for Cincinnati, I think fantastic. Some of the guys on our team on the Joffles, Jax Falcone definitely was like, yeah, Cincinnati all the way. And yeah, if you could get that perfect kind of swap out for Joe Mixon, I think that's phenomenal. I think that would be a great landing spot. Offensive line is good. The offense is good. I think his dynasty ceiling, I mean, I think if he lands in Cincinnati, it's almost automatic. He's in the RB1, you know, category automatic. I mean, he always was going to be, but like, landing spot does matter for that. The only other one I've thought of and kind of when I've mocked him there, when I've been doing some mock drafts, honestly, when I've been doing these mock drafts, he keeps landing there every single time. And it's not a spot that like a lot of people are talking about, but I kind of like him to fit in Dallas. I kind of like, you know, again, I like that parody. He played in Texas. Let's keep him in Texas. He goes to Dallas. And people say, okay, well, you got Tony Pollard there. We have a Tony Pollard side of franchise tag. He's on a 1 year deal, you know? And we saw even with Jonathan Taylor, his first year, like, Indianapolis still gave Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins like 160 carries.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so like, even Jonathan Taylor, you know, like I love Bijan Robinson, but I don't think he's like Saquon. I don't think he's coming in and immediately just crushing it. And I think a situation like Dallas, where you have Tony Pollard there, literally fits what he just had in Texas with Rashawn Johnson. Like, he doesn't have to take the whole reins right away, you know, and you could let Tony Pollard play out this 1 year deal, make sure Bijan's ready to go, not completely give him the full workload in year one and just gas him out. And, you know, it's a decent offensive line still. It's a good offense. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott, they like, you know, will run the ball and they'll pass the ball to him. So I kind of like that fit there as just like something that's a little bit different, a little contrarian, and honestly could work out if he falls to, I think, what they have, the 25th or 26th pick. Like, it could, you know, it could work out. And if it does fall there, I think he's going to, I don't know, the projections might fall a little bit with the masses, but I think it would work out really well for him for the long term of his career.
All right, you're the guest. I'll let you break the tie here between Bengals and Cowboys. Which one do you want to send him to?
Okay, I'm going to say Dallas just because, you pulled rank a couple of times. I'm going to be the only one that's going to be a little different on this one.
There we go. I love it. All right, we'll do it there. Jahmyr Gibbs. I had a landing spot in my article that, like, you know, I could kind of talk myself into, but you probably have a better understanding of Jahmyr Gibbs' game than I do. So where do you think is a good spot for him?
You know, it's wish casting. Yeah, I think you said Denver in your article, and I like that fit. I think the Sean Payton thing, Kansas City, I think is another, like, it'd be awesome just because, yeah, you know, you got Isaiah Pacheco there to run the ball hard and the short downs, and you could throw it to Gibbs. The other place I like it too is with the Chargers, and obviously, you know, Austin Eckler's there, but like, just like Joe Mixon, it's not a completely solidified situation. And as much as I love Gibbs, like, he's not a workhorse. Like, he's not that guy. I think a place where there is a little bit of a committee would fit great. But I still think because of the pass catching ability, and it's not like some of these other guys that are small in pass, you know, we're not talking about like a James White situation, a Tevin Coleman or Tariq Cohen situation. But I think he does need to fall on a team where they're going to throw the ball. You know, even like the Eagles could be a decent fit too, just because they use their backs in a committee anyway, and he doesn't have to like lean on them completely. But somewhere where it's a dynamic offense like Kansas City would be awesome.
Kansas City is a fun one to me. I think we can go with that one because I like the Denver one just because of the Sean Payton connection. And it obviously they are worried about their starting running back, Javonte Williams. Like, when is he going to be really rocked up and ready to go? Look, I think that Kansas City would be seeing a little bit of ghosts of like Clyde Edwards-Helaire if they use like the 31st overall pick on Jahmyr Gibbs here. But again, we're wish casting. So if you're cool with it, I like that fit.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Yeah, because again, team that's going to throw the ball a lot, then I think that fits with him. And I love Pacheco, but, you know, I don't know that he's necessarily like a full-time workhorse going forward, but that would be pretty fun. So let's move to Zach Charbonnet, who's your third ranked running back here. You know, kind of like a bit of a jack of all trades type at the position. What's a good spot for him to potentially make like a year one impact?
Yeah, I like him, I think, a little bit more than others. I think partly people don't like him as much because he played in the Pac-12. It just, people love to hate on Pac-12 running backs. Like, they're not that great. They don't have, you know, the defense they're going against isn't amazing. But I like Charbonnet a lot. I think he has a really complete game. I think he needs to go to a place where they need a running back to have a complete game, or at least close to it, you know, like it,
yeah.
Bijan has a complete game, you know, but Zach is I think kind of that next guy that's like a true running back in this draft class. And I really like him to Miami. I think that he could do a lot of good things there. I think Miami is a great landing spot for a lot of running backs, you know? So I think Miami or Philadelphia are the two teams I have on my list where he can make a lot happen there, you know, good offenses. You know, Miami definitely passed the ball a hell of a lot and got away from the run, but I think, you know, he could help them become a little bit more balanced and take a little bit off of Tua. And like I said, do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I've said on this show that I think the way for Miami to even out their run and pass, like, or their offense, like, it would be great. You know, the game against Buffalo is a good example that was sort of right after we had started to see like all these questions pop up around their offense after the 49ers game, the Chargers game, like, is there a blueprint out on Miami's offense? Well, what they did against Buffalo was just, they ran the ball really well, like you'd expect with a Mike McDaniel offense, that snow game. So I think Zach Charbonnet, Raheem Mostert and like Jeff Wilson are kind of placeholders. I think you throw Charbonnet in there, he might be a day one like impact player for these guys. And then Raheem Mostert's in a change of pace role. Jeff Wilson's in a change of pace role. I love that landing spot. Now, I was actually going to send Tajay Spears there because I think from a speed perspective, like a game-breaking ability perspective, he runs and plays really hard. That would be fun, but I'm with you. Let's send Charbonnet there because I think that makes a little bit more sense from like a zone running scheme perspective.
Yeah.
So Tajay Spears, where's a good spot for him? Obviously crushed the Senior Bowl, but there are some injury concerns.
I like the wish casting of this class because outside of Bijan and then Charbonnet, like, these guys kind of fit roles. And so I think it's either you wish cast them to someplace that's already doing that, or they're going to try to change their game. And so Tajay, I think obviously in a complimentary role, at least to start. This one I had, like, you know, the Raiders need a running back to complement Josh Jacobs late. They used to have Jalen Richard. I think someone like Tajay could come in and be a fantastic third down running back and you know, do well in that offense. And so, yeah, that's the list. That's the note I have is just to the Raiders. I think he could fit, but I think he could fit in a lot of places that just throw the ball, you know? So I think I could be talked into a lot of places with Tajay Spears as that number two guy.
Well, I'm still dying to send somebody to Cincinnati. Obviously, they throw the ball a good bit in Cincinnati. That would be one I would nominate. You know, in terms of other like change of pace spots, you know, there are some places that have like an established starter like Derrick Henry in Tennessee is a good example. They're always kind of looking for like a dynamic second running mate there. You know, I even think a team, Buffalo probably doesn't fit because they have like James Cook and Damian Harris, yeah. But I could see that as well. So I'm kind of open to whatever with Tajay Spears. Which way do you want to go here?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same, but like I kind of just want him to get drafted, and I want him to get drafted to a team that throws, you know. So it's like I could see him fitting so well in so many different offenses, and obviously him killing at the Senior Bowl, like they're gonna elevate him. And so sure, yeah, I think Cincy's a good one. You know, I almost like part of me wants to be like, I don't know, Patriots back in the day, because you know they're gonna throw the ball, but that just sucks to put anyone there. It sucks to put anyone on the Patriots, I think, you know, for a running back situation. So yeah, let's go with Cincy.
Okay. And like probably on day two, I would say is when he maybe late day two, but either way, day two, I think is probably a good time for him. I want to talk about Israel Abanaconda because he's your fourth ranked running back on the Undroppables. You're excited about this guy. Give me a dream landing spot for Israel. There's still a few on the board here that are pretty interesting.
Yeah, my note on here was like any AFC North team. I just think that like the guy just fits that mold. Like he's not Nick Chubb, but he runs hard and he's an athletic freak. I mean, it's kind of like Anthony Richardson in a way. Like the athleticism like is off the charts. You know, he's just hitting all the metrics you want. The RAS score is fantastic. The 40 is fantastic. You know, speed score is burst. Like, you know, the knock on him is that, yeah, he's raw. So I think like, you know, in like Cleveland or something, like I almost want to say him to Cincinnati. That's why I almost was like hesitant on Tajay to Cincinnati on that last one, just because like, I think Izzy could kind of be a good fit there. He can catch the ball. He can run. He can do a little bit of everything. And I think he's just a little bit underrated, and going into the league, you know, as a day two pick might be better fit, you know, as a complimentary running back to start. But I think he could definitely...
Bro, you're talking about this guy in all these exciting terms, and like I agree with you that he has incredible skills. I've heard people say like he kind of runs with blinders on. Maybe the vision's not all the way there. Like the nuance of the position maybe not all the way there. Just send him to Philly. I mean, for God's sakes, Tommy, send him to Philly. You love this dude. This is wish casting. Yes. Philly has not taken a back in our exercise yet. And like, okay, he runs with blinders on. You know what's going to help? Having Jason Kelce and the boys like plowing lines, plowing holes open on the first and second level. And like Rashad Penny can start the season off. And inevitably when that, you know, hits its normal ending point, you throw this guy Israel Abanaconda out there and you're grooving.
I'm sorry, when it normally hits his ending point, that's the best line for Rashad Penny.
I was trying to be nice in the way that I said it.
Yeah, that's why that was the nicest way to say and the funniest way to say just like, it's not going to last. I think Philly's fantastic. Yeah, screw the AFC North. Let's go NFC North or NFC East and let's throw them in Philadelphia. That's fantastic. I think, with that offensive line. Yeah, because he's not the smoothest tackle breaker. He's not, the vision isn't fantastic, but it's just like, it's there. It's there. It's a little raw. Give him a fantastic offensive line to help that.
I want to move to receivers, but I'll throw out Roschon Johnson, Zach Evans, Devin Achane, and Kendre Miller, who I'm a big fan of. Any of those dudes you think, like, just off the top of your head, great landing spot, and we can do it rapid fire?
Kendre to Baltimore, I think, would be fantastic. Small glimpses of, like, J.K. Dobbins in his game at least reminds me. North-South runner, one cut and goes. I think that's a fantastic fit for Baltimore's offense. I'm not the biggest Zach Evans fan. I'm just not. I think anywhere, though, that runs like 11 personnel a lot, like the Rams or Bills, could be a good fit. We have guys on our team that love him. Zach Evans, like, he's never been the best guy on the field at any team he's been on. So, like, how can I love him to be the best guy, you know, in this in the draft class to beat people out? Roschon Johnson, love Roschon Johnson. I think that's probably the biggest sleeper of this draft class. I'd love for him to go to Kansas City to like do something different, to get them back more to like what they used to have with like Jamal Charles, kind of, you know, not like this whole gadget thing, but like that's quick fire on all those guys.
Okay. We already sent Jahmyr Gibbs to the Chiefs, but I can still see them, you know, potentially.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now I'm losing track of what, where we sent people. I think I'm not following along on the list.
No, but I love that. I'll speak on the Zach Evans thing. I love the Rams pick there because Cam Akers ended the year well, but there's been some rocky points in that relationship. And they are an 11 personnel based team. That makes a ton of sense. Like, cause I think they're taking it back, like probably day three, that cause they have so many needs, but I do think a day three pick on Zach Evans is good there. So yeah, if there's some place for Roshon Johnson, if not, we can leave him off.
I don't know. How about the Bills? I don't know.
Yeah. I like the Bills. Cause I think you can give them a little bit of pop. Yeah. And again, probably a day three pick for Roshon Johnson. All these guys, I think we just talked about maybe day three picks, Kendra Miller, maybe late day two, but I'll go with day three there for all these guys. And I like that. Cause like, again, I love the Damien Harris signing, but we don't know if he's going to be a full-time player there. So,
right.
All right, let's move to receivers. Let's get these guys in as quickly as we can possibly go here. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you know I want to send him to Green Bay at the 13th overall pick. If you've read the article, which I know you did, yes. I just think he would be a fantastic fit in this offense. Slot flanker. He's going to give Jordan Love a guy that is open on the first read almost all the time, similar to what we talked about with Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit there. Not my player comparison for him. I think he's more of a Keenan Allen type. Love JSN, love Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And I like Christian Watson, but I'm still skeptical that Christian Watson develops into like a alpha number one receiver. You feed this guy 130 targets every single year because I think he's a little bit more volatile. I think the volatility of Christian Watson and the safety and smoothness of JSN would complement each other really well.
I think that's the best argument, because my only pick is just like wherever it's Houston, whoever quarterback Houston gets, they should get JSN to be the receiver. They should just,
it would be nice too if we've sent CJ Stroud there. Like, just we've seen like great success with these guys matching up with their old college teammates. So if you want to pull rank and go with this.
I love the parody. You know, I love the parody. I love the storylines. Like, let's just keep it together. Let's do it. Let's keep the good times going. You know, we got Stroud and JSN. Let's just keep it going. Let's like keep that offense rolling. You don't have to worry about anything. And, you know, they just signed Robert Woods. So he could learn from an awesome slot receiver. You know, you could learn from
slot flanker type. Yep.
I mean, Robert Woods is, I love the guy, but he's old as hell. Bobby Trees, like, I'm so happy you're still playing, but clock's ticking, buddy. You know, and then Mechie coming in, it could be a good fit.
And I like Nico Collins as like an X receiver, but I don't think he's a legit number one. I think JSN could be a legit number one. So I like that. So in that case, since you've sent JSN to the Texans, I want to send Zay Flowers to the Packers. Because again, I struggle with Zay Flowers. And this way too, like, they're at 13th overall. I'm dead terrified that New England is going to take Zay Flowers at 14th overall. And as much as they need receiver help, I want a little bit. Yeah. I want a little bit more for Zay than to be in the Mac Jones, Bill O'Brien offense. So I think Green Bay would be a great fit. Again, it's funny that, like, hey, you never did this for Aaron Rodgers. I understand the logic. As I said earlier in the show, we're going to get Jordan Love, a guy who, I don't know how you feel about Zay Flowers. I love him as a route runner. I think he's a guy that could play X flanker. He could play slot as well. And I think that allows you a lot of positional versatility for a guy like Christian Watson, who has that X receiver body type, but is probably best used off the line of scrimmage to get him free releases and get. And so if you can use Zay Flowers as an X, you could use Christian Watson as an X and then give the other guy an advantageous matchup. I think these guys would actually be a really good pairing here.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm not going to disagree with you at all. I'm just going to throw out other wish cash options. Minnesota or the Giants are two landing spots I like also, because like you said, Zay is a fantastic route runner. You can put him in a lot of different places. He could complement Justin Jefferson right away. He could slot in right away if he needed to, you know, with, cause I think, you know, looking at the Vikings roster, like, yeah, it's, he could beat out Jalen Naylor right now, you know, walking off the street. Yeah. So I think I like your argument. It's your show. I'm going to defer to you. And I think that's a good one to put him at the Packers. Because they need someone like Zay Flowers. I was just finishing up tape or film yesterday. And I was like, yeah, this guy's my wide receiver 4 instantly. And I'm super comfortable with wherever he lands. I think he's going to contribute right away.
Okay, Jordan Addison is your, he's your wide receiver 2. And I like Jordan Addison a lot. He's my 3. like Zay Flowers just a little bit more. He's an interesting one. I love Charles McDonald's thought about like he should be with the strong arm quarterback because he'd be a great flanker that like he's probably not, you probably don't want him in contested situations, tight coverage a lot. So Jordan Addison, what's a good spot for him?
Yeah, I like Jordan Addison a lot, mostly because I was stupid and like Kenny Pickett a lot. So I just watched them in, at Pitt a lot. And then
Kenny Pickett's fine. You don't have to beat yourself up for that.
But I liked Kenny, you know, like you don't understand. I liked Kenny Pickett coming out as a prospect. And so I watched a lot of him there and then watched a lot of him, obviously, at USC with Caleb Williams, you know, being here in L.A. And so I like Jordan Addison a lot, again, because the kind of the parody, the storyline connection. I kind of like him falling in Seattle, going to back, you know, with Pete Carroll, that old school connection with SC. So I know that he was watching a lot of film on him. I think, you know, he kind of reminds me of like Tyler Lockett in a way, you know, maybe obviously not as fast, a deep threat, but I think, you know, playing as a slot, as a flanker, you know, with DK on the outside and Tyler, like he can make some stuff happen. And I think he'd be a great route runner, great complement to that offense. And, you know, we've seen Geno sling it this past year. So I think that's who I had on my list, like kind of right away, and mock drafting him to Seattle kind of fit too. So it was, all, you know, somewhat realistic.
I love this fit. I hadn't thought about it. I had the Bills down for them just because I think he would be a good flanker, strong arm quarterback, stuff like that. But I love him as a potential slot receiver in Seattle. You get him free releases. Like if you get him away from press coverage, he is a fantastic route runner against zone coverage, especially playing inside a Seattle slot receiver or out at flanker when you want to get Tyler Lockett as the speed slot receiver. And look, I don't think necessarily that he has the highest ceiling, but I do think that he has a lot of potential as a really good number two receiver. And then like you have DK as the long-term number one there. So I'm going to go with your fit in Seattle round one there. Quentin Johnson, probably the other, you know, fringe first round type guy. I like him in Kansas City. What's a good spot that you think for him?
Kansas City would be nice. I think that should be our landing spot. I'm gonna say Chargers, just as like as my opinion. But I really like Kansas City. You know, flashes of like Mike Williams a bit in his game at times. I like his athleticism, obviously. And obviously the Chargers like tall running, you know, tall receivers, and they're going to throw it to him. But if he lands there, it's not a great fit right away. Fantasy, you know, it's going to be a tough wide receiver room to break into. I was just purely thinking about like, oh yeah, the offense and like what they need, and he would be a good addition and kind of fit like already what the style of play they're doing. But once you said Kansas City, I was like, yeah, I like that one.
Okay, yeah, I love Chiefs, the last pick in the first round. And again, they can bring him along somewhat slowly and not put too much on his plate because they have Kelce as the center of their passing game universe. And I think they have guys like if you develop Quentin Johnson as an X receiver, you have a gadget receiver in Kadarius Toney, you have a potential slot flanker in Sky Moore. Am I being slightly unrealistic because we had Jahmyr Gibbs late round one? But screw it. We'll just say they somehow get Jahmyr Gibbs in round two and they take Quentin Johnson. End of round one. So this is wish casting again. We're wish casting. Who cares? Yeah. Okay. So
give Patrick Mahomes all the weapons. Give him
exactly
every single weapon in this class. Yeah. Just load
that would
it
be
up.
Amazing. Okay. Josh Downs, Jalen Hyatt, and Cedric Tillman. I've got those three guys on our list. We're running long on time here, so we don't have a ton of time to get to the other guys here. I like Cedric Tillman with the Lions after the Jameson Williams thing. And you know, they needed an X receiver anyways, because I think Williams probably profiles more as like a flanker. So that's one that stood out to me.
Yeah, I had kind of the same reason, but for Jalen Hyatt, just to get some speed, like you know, on Detroit, especially again the Jameson Williams thing. Freaking dog. Jameson Williams thing. Yeah. I like Jalen Hyatt there. And you mentioned Josh Downs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Josh Downs. I kind of like Josh Downs in Buffalo. I don't want to say he's the same kind of guy as the Flowers, but like similar, you know, but a really great route runner, can make things happen. I think playing opposite your boy Stephon Diggs could really up his game, you know, and obviously he's not going to have all the attention on him. So I like that fit there for Buffalo for Josh.
Listen, you will not get an argument out of me of sending Josh Downs to Buffalo. I'm cool with that. All right, so we'll send one of the Tennessee. I will send one of the Tennessee receivers to Detroit here. Which one would you rather do, Hyatt or Tillman?
I'd rather do Hyatt.
Okay. Then the Lions, and again, that could be either round one or round two, really. But and especially since we sent Anthony Richardson there, that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
We'll say round two for him. And for Cedric Tillman, again, who needs like an X receiver, not necessarily like a big time separate. I would actually, how about New York? How about the Giants? They have a ton of slot receiver guys. They have a ton of smaller players. How about the Giants for Cedric Tillman?
Yeah, I like the Giants. The Rams was the only other one I could think of.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, Ben Skoronek. I don't know. I just hate that guy. and I think he could almost fit in right away. But the Giants need someone too. I know. So either one. I could go either way with both those guys.
I know we're running long. We're running a long time, so I want to get to tight ends here real quick. But I'll throw out Jonathan Mingo, Marvin Mims, and yeah, you really like Kayshon Booty. I've got some questions about Kayshon Booty, but any other landing spots, dream wish casting you want to say for receivers here?
I kind of like Mingo to Baltimore.
Ooh, okay.
You know, I think him and Rashad Bateman would just kill it. You know, they would just be bullies on the field. And then you have two really like alpha type receivers, which I don't know, in reality might not work well in the locker room, but
These guys, like Mingo, I think can be like a big slot. I've compared him to Amon-Ra St. Brown in that way, like an, you know, juiced up guy who you could play as a power slot inside, size, speed, tackle breaking ability. And you know, I think you have Odell Beckham there this year too, but you need some long term fits. And I could see Beckham lining up as your X and Bateman as your flanker and Mingo inside. And Mingo, by the way, also the best blocking receiver in the class. So I love that Ravens suggestion because we know that even if they're going to open the offense up a little bit, they're still going to want to run the ball.
Yeah. My only other thought too was like Steelers because it kind of like fits. Like,
oh, yeah. You know, such a like, Steelers. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, great blocker. You know, we'll play wherever. Obviously, like, is just going to stay with the team and keep playing. And so I like Mingo a lot. So, yeah, I think either of those spots could be fantastic.
And I'll throw out from my article, I had Marvin Mims on day two to the Chargers. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So, all right, we'll move to the tight ends here. And speaking of the Chargers, I kind of want to give them in round one, I want to give them Michael Mayer. I know in my article I said Darnell Washington, but the Chargers need a tight end who can block. I think Washington, none of these guys are great elite blockers right off the bus, but I think Mayer can be competent as a blocker. The Chargers could use competency as a blocker and like just a reliable target who's going to work the seams for Justin Herbert. So like, hey, that offense is a lot more juiced up if they've got Marvin Mims on day two and Michael Mayer on day one. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I've mocked Michael Mayer there. I think, yeah, you know, say what you want with his combine performance, but playing Debbie and you know, one of those guys that's been on since day one, freshman year, like tweeting about him, this guy's the next guy, you know, and he's shown it. He's a good athlete. He's a good tight end. He's just a solid. He's like that. He just looks like a tight end. You know, he's like, he fits the mold as what you would want. And I think on that Chargers offense, yeah, you can do a little bit of everything. You're going to be using the passing game, but you do need a block. Like, I think that's a fantastic fit.
Okay. Dalton Kincaid, much more of a receiver. What's his ideal dream landing spot?
I had Kincaid to Cincinnati. I think they need to get back to a good quality tight end. And I got this, you know, again, as an SC fan, Dalton Kincaid, you know, put one on SC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so,
what do you have, like 40 firsthand. Catches in that game? That's what it felt like.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. You know, so when you see it firsthand, you see these things firsthand, it resonates with you a little bit harder. So I like him there.
Yeah. I love that one. That's a great one. They have Irv Smith, but yeah. You're not walking into the season with just Irv Smith, the tight end.
And then honestly, like, I'm not expecting any of these tight ends to be playing or doing anything fantasy relevant for 3 to 4 years anyway, you know? Right, so like having someone there, even if they play behind him, cool. Because we've seen it, like Kyle Pitts, the greatest freaking tight end prospect ever, wasn't, you know, like crushing it in the fantasy realm. So like, you know, it's like, it's just a reminder of like tight ends take a while.
Okay, that brings us to Darnell Washington, who, if you had not sent Bijan Robinson to the Cowboys in round one, I was going to think about Darnell Washington to the Cowboys in round one, but I mean, maybe there's a chance he slips to the 58th overall pick, like the. But I kind of feel like no, somebody's going to take a shot on this trade. So I loved him as a potential fit with the Cowboys, who could use a blocker at tight end, who I think are sniffing around tight ends. But we'll take the Cowboys one off the board. Where do you think is a good spot for Darnell Washington? Huge guy, athlete, shows potential as a blocker as well.
Yeah, one place I kind of like him is fitting the offense, fitting the like history of the offense. I kind of like him at the Packers because he can block. We have kind of no idea how the Packers are going to be this year. So like, is it the best for his fantasy outlook? I don't know, but is he going to be the best fantasy tight end? You know, is he going to catch a ton of passes and get touchdowns? Like, I'm not sure, you know, like definitely freak of an athlete, huge, you know, but they need someone to block in that offense too. And he's a pretty decent blocker.
And they just traded up to the 42nd overall pick with the Aaron Rodgers trade. So I think that's a realistic range for him. I don't think he slips into the 50s, but I think that he could be a second round pick, Darnell Washington. And again, Darnell Washington's a guy there. So like they get Jordan Love, they get him Zay Flowers in our dream wish casting spot. They get him Darnell Washington. That's pretty awesome. And I agree that's pretty big for the run game. Last tight end we'll cover here. Sam Laporta, who's your third ranked tight end. You love this guy. Charles and I talked about him. His production doesn't look great, but when you put it in context of like the Iowa passing game was ridiculous last year, and not in a good way. Where do you think is a good spot for Sam Laporta here?
Maybe this is where the Cowboys finally get their tight end.
Okay,
especially if it has to fall a little bit. I think with you know, this tight end class that might actually happen. Sam, it's watching a little bit of film. It's kind of looking at, you know, stuff on the numbers that kind of stood out. Like his RAS score was like pretty dang decent. And the rest of the metrics. So I think, you know, it's tight ends. You know, I'm not going to be like super stoked on all these guys, but I think, you know, a good Iowa tight end at a Cowboys offense that respects tight ends and uses tight ends could be a good fit.
Yeah. Producer Colin's a Cowboys fan. He's losing his mind in the Zoom chat. So you've done well. You've done well for him, at least with our final pick here. You've pleased the producer, which really that's the gig right there. 90th overall could be a good spot for him with the Cowboys, the 58th overall pick. You know, that's a little earlier, but I mean, yeah, if you could get him late day two there at Sam Laporta, that'd be an awesome developmental guy there. Well, speaking of awesome, Tommy, we've done it all. We've said it all. We talked about a ton of guys here.
A lot of guys.
In like an hour 15. That was awesome. We really appreciate you being a perfect guest here for this dream prospect wish casting. Tell the people about your work, where they can find you, what you got cooking up right now at the Undroppables.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Matt, for having me on. Thanks, Colin, the producer for I'm glad I made you happy. I'm stoked with that. But yeah, you can find all my work at The Undroppables. Find me on Twitter at 2on1FFB. And The Undroppables everywhere. Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. We're on there right now giving a ton of advice. We're going to have a little draft party going on this weekend. And if you're a Dynasty listener, and you love podcasts, I can't speak highly enough about our best podcast in our network, The Undrafted, by our own Jax Falcone. If you play Dynasty, this is the podcast for you. Highly recommend you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. But again, all of our work can be found at theundroppables.com. And Matt, again, thanks for having me on. It's great to talking with you after, you know, having our Breaking Bread session, which is my article series that almost, you know, I got nominated for Fantasy Sports Writers Association Award last year. So really excited about that and got a new article dropping after the draft. So please look out for that on our website. And yeah, again, thanks for having me. This was fantastic.
Well, as one fellow almost award winner to another, I appreciate you here. I appreciate you coming on. And when I'm like, pump yourself, you're talking about your buddy Jax's podcast, which again, it's all in the same network on Droppables. It's awesome. But you're the man, Tommy. Appreciate you, dude. This was awesome. Again, hell of a lot we talked about here on this show. So thanks a ton. The next time you hear from us, 31 picks will have been made on Thursday night. Charles McDonald is going to join me for that, for after night one, to break down the winners and losers of the first round. So look out for that. As soon as the first round is over, we're going to get recording. It'll be on your feeds ASAP. Until then, we're out.